We are on Dial in the Bays. We, a long time ago, were learning toward the bottom. We actually got to the two dots, but we flew through it. So we're going to go, we're going to start again. There's a dot before the lines get medium-sized wide. Before the medium-sized, we'll start off with Rav, which is the first word on the line.
Mashi.
Yes. So that's kind of a new idea. A Rav Mashi Yodei Bikar Krishma V'Anach Tefillin V'Tzalig. That Rav did something strange, at least in the order of what he did. He washed his hands, which is a good thing to do, said the Shema, put on his tefillin, then he davened. So the question is, why
did he say Shema before he davened? I mean, before putting on tefillin.
Before putting on tefillin, right. And we discussed last time, if he put on the tefillin, when exactly did he say it? It sounds like he was putting on the tefillin in the middle of the Shema and the Shemon Esrei. There's a problem. Right, because did he say a bracha? So the Ritva actually says that he put them on. He obviously couldn't say the bracha then. Maybe he put them on, said the bracha after the Shemon Esrei. And even though you can say, he already did the mitzvah, that's not true, because the mitzvah wearing tefillin continues. So he put them on.
He wore tefillin all day.
Right. So he put on the tefillin, said a bracha after the Shemon Esrei, and then maybe he moved them around or something, and therefore he continued to wear them. So that's how the Ritva explains it. But the problem again is, why did he say the Shema without the tefillin on, which you would think he should do? That's what the Gemara asks. The
question could be before the Gemara
asks,
what was the spot? I mean, he woke up late.
Ah.
You know, Friday, the rabbi slept late.
Yeah, I guess the Gemara never even entertains that as a possibility.
Otherwise, but, what was his hurry?
Right. I mean, you know. Right. Probably, the Gemara is going to answer he was under the gun. It was close to Sovzman Kriyashma. He had no choice but to say it without the tefillin. Not that he really normally does this. The Havamina maybe that he constantly did this. Alright. So Gemara asks, V'hechi Avidachi, how could he have done such a thing? Well, Sanyim we learned. We're into the Brisa. And this is kind of a roundabout way of learning this. Does this sound familiar? Were you here when we learned this?
Yeah.
Okay. Hacholper chuch lemeis bekeber. A person is digging basically a grave for a person who died. And you're busy digging. So because you're taking a mitzvah, right, you're putting a mitzvah, such as putting a kriyashma, minat tefillin, mikol mitzvah samoris b'torah. You put from everything. And we saw the Tosus over here, just to remind us, that the Tosus asked the question, why does it say that you're putting from kriyashma if it already says you're putting mikol mitzvah samoris b'torah?
Right, that's nothing bigger than kriyashma.
Right, so what's the... Right, so why does he need to say this mitzvah as well?
Because of what he did here now, because he said Shema and then he put on tefillin, so you might have thought that Shema had precedence that maybe he singled it out.
That what? Go ahead.
That was singled it out, that since Shema is on its own plane, it's like one of the highest mitzvahs you could do,
right,
that we might have thought that, okay, you put on most mitzvahs, but not Shema. But here it's coming to tell us that not only you put on tefillin, and then it is your tefillin,
Right. I mean, Tosus says it a little bit different, but he says that answer. He says, if we look at the second Tosus over here, he says, "Im tomer v'chi kreishma lo havi b'chlal mitzvos hamoris b'torah." Isn't the Shema considered to be a mitzvah? Why does it have to say also you plucked from the Shema? Sorry. So the chiddush, obviously, that Tosus has to answer is that there's something unique about the Shema that you think maybe you are.
Not
Potter. Not Potter. The Eish Lamer, right, that's how Tosus has to answer it. He says, the Elo Tani Behedi Kriya Shema, if we would not have explicitly mentioned Shema, Havamina, one would have thought, the Daka Hani, maybe other mitzvahs, the Leisluh Kviya Zman, where there's no set time in it. Kriya Shema, the Kviya Luhu Zman, where there's a set time, the time can pass, Lo. Hoyav Zman Omer Kamashwan, you would think maybe it'd be.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Yeah. She does have a
Shema. Sure.
So women are putter from Shema.
Women are, in fact, putter from Shema, yeah.
That's why I say she has a Magaram.
That's right. It is. In fact, that's actually a Mishnah in Chaf Omid Aleph. we look over here, the very bottom of 20A, Chacham and Aleph, the last line. Yes, a nice, smooth Mishnah, right? Nashim Abanim Kanim, Peturin Mid Kriyashma, right? So that's the reason Rashi doesn't say, or does say. Yeah, Rashi says, if you look in the Rashi on that Mishnah, Chacham and Aleph, just toward, you know, it says Mastisin, Shahaya Mem Ayin Shazman Gram. Right, so that's it. Right, so women are not obligated in the resetting the Shema because it is bound by time. That's the case. That's true. For them to say it, I'm saying it, but they're not obligated to say it because it's mitzvah saseh shazman grama. Okay. Anyway, so that's the explanation, the answer that Tosis presents over here.
Right.
That you would maybe think that the Shema is different because the time will pass. Kama Shalom. Nonetheless, we have the Raisa says you're also potter in that mitzvah as well. Okay, well, now we're up to the medium-sized line on your Dalet and the base. Fine. So Higiyas man kriyishma ola v'noit liyada v'mneach tefillin v'kori kriyishma mespala. Once the time has come to recite the Shema, get up from your digging this grave, and you should wash your hands, say tefillin, put on your tefillin, read the Shema, say and daven. Fine. That's the Bryson. Ha gufa kasha. This in itself, gufa in its body in itself, is an apparent contradiction. Reisha, the first
right.
part.
Because we just said the apatra from Shema. Right. What is that? What are you making him crazy?
Right.
You're talking about a mitzvah or just a stamp
general?
Mace in general.
Yeah.
Mitzvah means that no one else is there to do it.
I understand.
That's going to be the answer. That's Gemara's answer. Let's see the Gemara's question before we get to Gemara's answer. Hagupakasha Reisha Amar Pata. Stay Pachayah. Make up your mind. The first part said you're Pata Mikol Mrs. Term Kudin Kriyashma, and now you're telling me, get up and this. What are you talking about? Are you Pata or are you Chayah? Halukasha. Seifa Betray. Reisha Bachad. When do I say that you should get up and say the Shema? Betray.
There's two people there.
So the other guy is busy digging this narrow opening. So while he's digging, you'll daven, and when you're davening, you know, you'll switch.
Two guys can't dig together at the same time.
Right. Apparently that's the situation. And in fact, it's probably why it uses this specific case of a chuch, which Rashi says it's a cave in which its length is 4 and its width is 7 tefachim, which is
pretty narrow,
so maybe there's only enough space for one person at a time. Right. So for me to dig, you can daven and say the Shema's not an issue. The Reisha B'cha, the Reisha where it says you're Pat Mikol Mitzvah Semor Spatora, is when you are the only one. You're the only one there. Oisim Mitzvah, Patim in a Mitzvah. Okay. So, okay, that was a very nice price. Very nice question, very nice answer. What on earth does this have to do with our whole story of Rav who washed his hands and said the Shema and put on his tefillin and daven? Because if we look at the seifa of this brisa, it told us a specific order. Mikol makom kashal Rav. You can still say, nonetheless, Mikol makom, nonetheless, it's a question on Rav. Why? Because Rav, what did he do first? The Shema or tefillin?
He washed and he said the Shema.
And then he put on the tefillin. But what does this Braisa clearly say? What are you supposed to do?
You put on the tefillin first and then sit the Shema.
Right. Which is, it's fascinating that, you know, we actually need to bring a proof to support you're supposed to put on the tefillin before you say the Shema. But we actually do. Because you know, everything has to be textually based. It's not even that which we do all the time, ritually. It has to be something which we see.
But what started the ritual?
Right, so they have to have some support, textual support, even though, I mean, everyone puts on the film and says the Shema. So the question is, why would Rav do something which is clearly against halacha? Not supposed to say the Shema without your tefillin on your head. So, the Gemara answers like this. So, you know, we quickly went through this. So we'll quickly go through it again. Maybe Rav Krebi Yeshua ben Karcha Svirle. Possibly, Rav is of the opinion of Yeshua ben Karcha. Who's Rabbi Shuman Karach? The Omer, he said, why do we recite the first paragraph of the Shema first and then the second paragraph of the Shema? And we saw the top Tosfos that you can't say, "Aye, what do you mean?" Because chronologically, you look in the Torah, Parshas Eschanan comes before Parshas Eked, because they have the third paragraph that throws us for a loop, right? It's in Sefer Bamidbar. It's not in Parshas Shlach. So, what did he answer? Why do we recite the first paragraph first? Why is Shema before Mahayim Shema? The Omer, Ol Malchus Shema in Tchila, V'Yachrakach Ol Mitzvos. We got into this in
yes.
Why is the first paragraph?
Right.
Ol Malchus Shemayim. We're going to talk about this a little bit more when we see the last line over here, the very fascinating Ritva, but we'll get to that in a moment, later on, actually. But nonetheless, he says, the first paragraph, take for granted, it's Ol Malchus Shemayim. You're acknowledging the yoke of the kingdom of heaven. Once you acknowledge there's a God, then only after that, Ol Mitzvos, right. Because for you to
don't
go
acknowledge him, what does his Mitzvos mean? Don't mean anything.
Right, you're just going through a bunch of motions. Right. Doesn't mean anything. Exactly, means nothing. So maybe, so what is he saying? So how is this an answer? What does Rav do? I do like Rabbi like this opinion. Like the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Karcha. That what do you first do? First you have to accept upon yourself Ol Malchus Shemayim.
Before you do the
mitzvah tefillin.
Right.
So therefore, first I'll say the Shema, then Barach tefillin.
Right.
Then I'll wear the tefillin.
I accept
the
Ol Malchus Shemayim first.
Right. First, right, exactly. So that's what you have to do. And that's what he did. So, the problem with that is Rabbi Shimon Karcha, when he made that statement of which paragraph goes first, he never meant it to imply that it has to do with actions. It had to do with
just the chronological order of Shema.
Right, that's all he meant. Amor, when? Diom Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, Lahaktim Kriya L'Kriya. When did Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha make the statement only as to which paragraph should come first? Which one, Lahaktim Kriya L'Kriya, which one should go before the other? Kriya L'Asiya Mishamislei. When it came to reading versus an action, he never talked about that. The whole question is, out of the three paragraphs, which one should we situate first? Which one comes first? Reading, reading, reading. But when you're talking about reading or reciting the Shema and being Isaac in a mitzvah of putting on the tefillin, he never, ever would have dreamt that you should make such a quantum leap to think that you have to first say the Shema, then put on the tefillin. Rabbi Shimon Karcha never said that. He's putting words in his mouth. So therefore, that cannot be an answer to why Rav went out of order. Namely, first saying the Shema, then putting on the tefillin. The suit, and also, and furthermore, me sabrelei from Yeshua ben Karcha, is it possible to say that he in fact holds, like the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Karcha, ha'oimer Rav chia parashi, zimnin segin havi kamei de Rav. It happens to be that a lot of times we were in front of Rav, this is the same person, Rav, the beginning of the story. We always used to watch the behaviors and actions of Rav. And I'll tell you, we can verify this is the order that he was engaged in. Umachtim, you get up early, Mashi Yadeh, wash his hands, okay, he did that. Umevarech, he would say a bracha, which apparently is Berchas HaTorah. Umaskil and Pirkin.
Not the way we do it today. You say Berchas HaTorah after putting it to
him. Oh, that's true, that's true. That's a good point. The Mavarach of a masculine Pirkin, he would teach us a parak, maybe because he was engaged in a lot of learning first, which we still do see that, you know, people would say, well, the Daviomi an hour before Shachris. Okay. Umanach Tfilin, Bahadakari Kriyashma. So out of the two, the focus of the Shema and the Tfilin, we noticed that what would he always do first? Tfilin. So therefore, even if you want to tell me that Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha in fact holds that you would actually recite the Shema before and put it on the tefillin, that's not what he did. He didn't do that.
That was his normal thing.
Right. So, some Mefarshim say you can already ask a stira in Rav himself. It's a contradiction in Rav. One time he did it this way, some time he did it this way. Right?
Well, this was in a special circumstance.
Apparent, right. So it must be based on this statement, it must be that's what he normally did, because it said that we were frequently by him, and this is what he did, which implies probably the way we began, that Rav said the Shema, then put him in the tefillin, that was a rare occurrence. And then we're going to have to understand why, in fact, did he do this one time in this unusual way, if that's not really what he holds. If he holds, he should have put on the tefillin and said the Shema. So, the Gemara says like this. The Chi Teima, if you want to tell me. B'dalo Matas Man Kriyashma. Maybe it's the opposite. Maybe, normally speaking, he would say the Shema first. So why did he put on his tefillin first in this particular time and then say the Shema later? It's because it wasn't time to say the Shema yet, which also could make sense. Because as you said, why did he teach us a parak and then say the Shema, then put on the tefillin? Right? Put on the tefillin after he taught us. Why couldn't he put on the tefillin and say the Shema before he learned? Why did he only say Berachas HaTorah? That's all he could have said. He could have said a little bit more. Maybe he should have davened before he learned. And maybe the reason is because the B'dalo Matas Man Kriyas Shema wasn't the time of the Shema yet. And therefore, that's the reason why also he put on the tefillin, and as he was putting on the tefillin, so ever so slowly, eventually it came to the time of the Shema after his tefillin were on. So the Gemara says that can't be, because Im Kain, Ma'asa Hades the Rav Chiya Bar Ashi. What would be the edus, the testimony of Rav Chiya Bar Ashi? He's testifying, this is the exact scenario that we saw. If it was just that it was a matter of a clock, that it wasn't yet time to say the Shema, it's no chiddush. He wouldn't have went out of his way to have taught us this specific order. It must be that had the reason why he did this had no bearing on the time. Because if it was the only reason why he said the Shema later is because it was not yet, it was still pitch black out. So what, he's not teaching us anything. It's no chiddush. So he says, no. It's possible that he is coming to teach us a chiddush in his testimony, but the testimony is not the chiddush of saying the Shema first and then the tefillin before the Shema. The whole chiddush is whether or not you have to say Berachas HaTorah based on what he taught us. Because some people hold that lafuke, to exclude those who say l'mishnah in tzarech l'varech, that if you're only learning Mishnah, then you do not need to say Berachas HaTorah. Kamash Malan, the Apple Mishnah in tzarech l'varech. He holds that you also have to say Berachas HaTorah also on Mishnah, because Mishnah is further removed from Torah. If you're learning Torah, okay, you're learning Tanakh, this, Torah Shebachsav, you have to say Berachas HaTorah, it's Torah. Torah Shebal Peh, Mishnah, it's more removed. So some people would actually hold you wouldn't have to say Berachas HaTorah on that. The Chiddush is
that you do.
Kovachim Kashal Rav. Nonetheless, we can ask a contradiction on Rav. So my answer is, Shalucha Hu Diaz. The Shliach is the one that made a mistake. What does that mean? So we look in Rashi. Shalucha Hu Diaz. Hashliach Kilkel. It was the agent, the person that he sent, his messenger, made a mistake. She'ichar lehevi lo tefillin mi'ikara. That he sent him tefillin. He said, listen, it's time for me to daven, it's time for me to say the Shema. I didn't say the Shema yet, because I still have 33 minutes. Go and get my tefillin. They're on the other side of the city. And he looks at his watch. 10 minutes go by. 20, 25 minutes. What am I going to do? Where is this guy? Right? He got stuck in traffic. Who knows? So he was negligent in bringing the tefillin. So therefore, what did Rav think? He thought, I have a choice.
I'm going to miss this month.
I'm going to miss this month. So what choice do I have? Miss it or say it without tefillin.
Right.
So apparently we can learn out from here, the Chiddush, that even though you should wear the tefillin, that Rav himself would.
You don't say if you don't have tefillin.
Right. Because you have what other choice do you have? Right. And therefore it's better to say it without tefillin than not say it at all during its month. So let's continue in Rashi. Rashi said that Hashliach Kilkel Sheikh Lehebi lo tefillin mikar, that he didn't bring his tefillin as he should have. Higiyaz man kriya shema, it reached the time of the Shema. Behuzkuk lekros, it was now incumbent upon him to read. He had to read. Kadesh lo yavar hazman. Right? The time would have passed. It was so man kriya shema, it was minutes away. Behimat in shlucha the tefillin anach ninu. And once the shliach brought the tefillin, then he put them on. But until I have the physical pair of tefillin, I can't do anything. And what choice do I have if I wasn't able to wear the tefillin? Now, it's interesting.
Can you hold from the smile of the Holy God?
Doesn't talk about which smile, but he certainly did hold of his man because it's Beferish. That's Beferish of Mishnah. I know. But nonetheless.
I don't think when he was around then.
Yeah, I guess so. He was a little bit after the times of Amorayim. Anyway, it's actually talking about Ge'oinim. It was a Shiloh which is brought down by the Hagon Hashol Meshe B'Sifro Magin Giborim. He asked the question in the Shilte Giborim, which is the name of the Sefer. He asked the question like this, that you can actually, he says, you can see from here a raya based on the story that Rav said he got up early, washed his hands, and put on his tefillin, which we find so many times that was the order. That's what he did. He got up, washed his hands, put on tefillin, said the Shema, or the opposite order. It says, it's interesting, why doesn't it mention something else that he put on?
Dress.
Well, it didn't mention that. I guess that we don't need to know what pair of pants he wore or whatever. But why doesn't it mention his tzitzis, or his talis, his tzitzis? It doesn't mention that. It just talks about he got up, he washed his hands. Like, why does it need to mention that fact? Obviously, it's going to every little prod, every detail. So if he got up and he washed his hands, and it tells me he put on tefillin.
Since he got to assume he had it on.
But the kash is. Oh, so how can we assume he it doesn't say?
Would he not, without kissing the tzitzis, without, you know, the thing, would he, not without the towels for his tzitzis?
I don't know. He didn't wear tefillin. So. It's interesting that some learn out from here, a raya, according to some opinions, such as the Arizal, sheyesh lishka b'layla b'tzitzis, that some people wear tzitzis at night. They go to sleep with them. They sleep with their tzitzis. They wake up and they're wearing the same tzitzis because they don't change them. How often they change them, I don't know. But so some actually learn out from here as a raya, where did he put on his tzitzis? You didn't see him put on the tzitzis because he was wearing them already the night before. Because it tells you it's mashi yadim, means he was washing his hands. He didn't get dressed before he washed his hands. He washed his hands right away. You're not supposed to walk dalad amos. That's one of the first things you do in the morning. So you washed, apparently, which means he didn't get dressed. So he should have then said he put on the tzitzis. We don't find that. So we've seen, maybe it's a raya, like the Arizal, that there are those that wear tzitzis sleeping, and therefore he didn't put them on. However, not everyone agrees to this. It says it's not a raya.
What is the purpose of that? There's no mitzvah.
It's a shmira. It's a shmira. The Arizal, there are people that wear tzitzis. They sleep in their tzitzis. Some people are against it because, if you're able to have proper machshavos. But if you're able to, it could guard you, and you should have a shmira of be acknowledge the mitzvos every second. You ever heard people sleeping in tzitzis before?
I've heard night tzitzis.
Whatever. So that's what they. So that's some did. He says no. The little raya. This is interesting because it's kind of like what you said. The Levush says it's not a raya. The pshita shikvar nisakte dehech yomid orim bika kriyashma mispal. It doesn't mention that he got dressed. But he probably got dressed too, right? He says, "Dibizmanehem hayu kol bigdehem usin bedal kanaflis." Our tzitzis are not the same as them. Our tzitzis, our garments really don't have four corners. We put them on, whatever, an extra separate garment. They didn't put on a pair of tzitzis. They didn't like we have. That was their clothes. That was their clothes, right? So it doesn't talk about him getting dressed. Obviously, he got dressed. What's the raya? He got dressed because he said the Shema. He didn't say the Shema without clothes on. So obviously he put on the tzitzis after. So the fact that it doesn't mention him putting on the tzitzis is not a raya whatsoever that he slept in them. That's how the Levush explains. But some people try to bring a raya from here to talk that he did sleep. Okay. Now, before we go weiter, we also mentioned that the answer was that really he would make sure never to say the Shema without tefillin. He always wore the tefillin when he said the Shema. However, in the case where the Zman would pass, what choice does he have? So it's brought out from here, Mikan Raya, Demutu Ikras Kriya Shema Baboker, Bli Tefillin, Kishimis Yara Shiavor Hazman. If you're afraid that the time will pass, there's nothing wrong with wearing, with saying the Shema without the tefillin. Right? The Hashok, why the Because we find in the Shach Vitaria and the question and answer format of the Gemara, Shaharit Sarech Lahaktim Hanech Tefillin, that really he wanted to put the Tefillin first. But because the Shliach didn't show up on time, that's the reason why he said the Shema. That's the end of the Gemara. The Gemara right there has two dots. The Gemara doesn't continue to say, but there's a Gemara, which happens to be the next one we'll see in a second, that anyone who says the Shema without wearing tefillin is ki'il made edus sheker ba'atzmo. It's like you're giving false testimony. You're saying, ukshartem, where's your tefillin? You're not wearing tefillin. How can you say, acknowledging in the Shema about wearing tefillin, you're not wearing them? So that's considered edus sheker. You're a liar. You're giving false testimony. So the question is, why doesn't the Gemara ask the Kasha, what right does he have to say the Shema without tefillin? He's giving false testimony. He's being made a sheker. So therefore, it must be, the reason why the Gemara doesn't ask this is because he didn't do anything wrong. The only time a person is considered to have violated being made a sheker is only if you do not put on your tefillin b'mezid, which means that you decide, my tefillin's sitting right here, like, I'll put them on at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I'll put them on later. Let me just say the Shema and finished. That's when it's Eidus Sheker. However, in the case of Rav, his whole concern was that the Zman would pass. It wasn't because he mamish wanted to be oiver and to say something and give false testimony. He had no choice. Then a person is allowed to, and it's not considered to be made Eidus Sheker. It's only if you do it b'mezid on purpose. Okay. So that's how they explain that. Right.
I guess it's no virus iron because people see it, there's not filling it.
Right. And that was the conclusion that the Gemara had to make, that the only way that he actually said the Shema without the tefillin is because he had no choice. But nonetheless, we see it's better to say the Shema without tefillin than to not say that the proper Zman. Omer Ulu. Two lines from the bottom. Omer Ula, this is the famous Gemara which we just quoted. Kol Hakari Kriyashma Bula Tefillin Ki'ilu Med Eidus Sheker Ba'atzma. So you wear the tefillin, you're not wearing the tefillin, you say the Shema, it's like Eidus Sheker. You're a liar against yourself. Right? As we explained. Omer Rav Chiya, but we'll go back, we'll explain that a little bit better in a moment. Omer Rav Chiya Barabba, Omer Rav Yochanan Ki'ilu Hikriv Ola Bula Mincha Vezevach Bula Nesachim. Now when it comes to karbanos, there's certain things that you need to do which accompany the sacrifices, such as a karban ola, which is an elevation offering completely consumed in Mizbeah. Together with it is a mincha offering. So if you the flower offering, so you brought the ola without the mincha, it's nothing. A zevach bula nesachim. You brought a zevach karban, but you didn't bring the proper libation together with it, so it's also considered to be nothing. If you look over here in Tosus says, Oyla b'la mincha, hu hadin, the matzah l'meimar, b'la nesachim, it could have also said, instead of ola without a mincha, it could have also said an ola without nesachim, because the ola also requires libation. Shari ola namitun and nesachim, okay. Elo lishn dekran naka ola u'mincha zavach. So the Pasuk says, Ola u'mincha, it's the lashon of the Pasuk, and therefore that's the reason why the Gemara borrows that example as well, because that's what the Pasuk says, Ola u'mincha. So,
not as serious as Ola.
What was that?
It's not as serious as Ola. Ola says it's the Sheker.
Right, that sounds a lot worse.
He's just not doing the mitzvah properly, completely.
Right, that's a good point. It sounds like Ula is a lot more harsh than that sounds to be the case. That's interesting. The brought down in the Sefer Beis Yosef, actually the Magid Taluma says Ki'ilu made Eidus Sheker Ba'atzmo, that you're considered to be a liar within yourself. And he brings down Chazal that the way of a badoy, of a liar, is that they always say ksas emes. They should always say some form of truth. Otherwise, a person's never going to believe you. And he brings the raya by the meraglim. Now, when it came to the meraglim, how did they begin giving their report? They said, Eretz mas chol v'dvash, it's a beautiful land flowing of milk and honey. But then they started getting to Efes, Kiyaz Om, So once they started saying this, something positive, so people started believing in him, and therefore, even though it was a lie, the beginning was true. So once the beginning was true, people bought into it. When you say something which is a complete lie in itself, no one is going to believe you. And this is Zelashano, Bekan Hine Hemakamal of Omal Kashmai, Bekrishma, Yomer Sharutza, Limso of Abba Nashimu Ado, Babar Kadusha Shemo. You say the Shema, you say, I want to serve Hashem with all my heart, all my might. Neimaneach, you're not wearing the tefillin, Hine Yaminu. Then Hashem is not going to believe you. Hashem looks at your Shema and says, what is this guy? This is not a guy that is really sincere, that he wants to serve me with all of his heart, with all of his might. After all, he's someone who's not telling the truth. And therefore, the problem is that when you do not do part, when you're not wearing the tefillin, so then Hashem will look at you and say, this whole business is one big lie. Now, it's actually brought down the Chafetz Chaim over here, but something very scary. Very scary, unbelievably powerful. Chafetz Chaim in his Sefer Shmiras Haloshim. Now, what does the Gemara say? That if you say the Shema without the tefillin,
but
you're wrong. You should be saying the tefillin.
But obviously, the Shema is flaming.
The time is gone. The time is gone.
You have nothing to do about it.
Absolutely. If you have no choice, the time is gone, coming and going. Say it without the tefillin. But let's say you have 3 hours. You have all the time in the world, and the tefillin is sitting right there. You're just not in the mood. So then, he says, you're made a sheker, because how could you say something in the Shema which is not true? You're saying tefillin, tefillin. Listen to the words of the Chafetz Chaim. It's unbelievable how he... It's simple what he says, but it's really quite profound as well. But he says, l'chora pashu l'fizek, it must be, simply put, according to this Gemara, dehu adin. That when you say the words, what does that mean? It's supposed to love God. Right? I love God with all my might, all my heart, all my soul. When you say that sentence, you need to, in your heart, truly feel, however you can accomplish this, love for Hashem and Hashem's mitzvos. With all of your heart, you really need to mean what you're saying. V'hainu, k'moshe kasev b'chovas halavavos, in shar ahavas Hashem. It says in chovas halavavos, she's boning b'gadlus habore v'ramusa, she'll mechayi kol halamos. The way you can acknowledge, feel love for Hashem is you think about the world and how Hashem sustains the world and keep the world going. So that's an unbelievable feeling, that acknowledgement that you'll be able to love Hashem. V'yakar kach yakar rov tova borei love. Once you do that, says the Chovas Lavavos, you'll probably come to loving and acknowledging Hashem. He says, de'im kashul l'chavim kol zebeis kriyashma. He says, if it's difficult for you to think about this properly during the Shema, then yiru is bonin. You should at least, you have an obligation to think about this one time during the day. At least to think about this before you go home to eat. But what the Chofetz Chaim is basically saying, different words, so I skipped part of it, is if you say, and you have no idea the words that just came out of your mouth, how is that any different than you saying the Shema without the tefillin on? You're saying the Shema without the tefillin, so you're ain't a sheker. You're a liar. Because you're not, your actions and your words aren't the same. So when you say, I love Hashem, but you don't love God, you don't think about what you're saying, it means nothing.
It's lip service.
That's considered, it's not just that it's, lip service means what? Right.
Part of your emotions.
Right. This, what the Chofetz Chaim is saying, you are giving false testimony about yourself because you're pretending, you're saying you love God, but you're not feeling that you have any love for God. So you're not feeling any love for God. It's also a form of Eidus Sheker. It's also considered to be a lie. That's how he interprets this. Okay. Let's move on. To me, it's a pretty powerful statement. The words that you say, which are lip service, it's a lie. You're an Eidishek, you're a liar. It's not just that, you know, it's society. You didn't say with enough kavana. So you're fooling yourself. Okay, last line. The Yom Rabbi Yochanan, Harotzi Shir Kabbalah, Ol Malchus Shemaim Shlema. It's an interesting language. It doesn't say, if you want to be Mekabal Ol Malchus Shemaim, it says Ol Malchus Shemaim Shlema. We'll explain what exactly that means in a moment. What is a person supposed to do? You're supposed to do the following. Baneh, which in the Kevav, Rashi says, you should go to the bathroom, relieve yourself. V'yitol yodav, wash your hands. V'yaniach tefillin v'yikur kriyat shema v'yispalin. Put on the tefillin, say the shema, daven, v'zuhi malchus shemayim shleim. Which is pretty interesting. It's okay. How are you makabel upon yourself ol malchus shemayim? Say the shema, put on the tefillin.
Well, what is the end
over here? You have to use the bathroom.
That's what I'm saying. That's all.
What?
Why don't we take a heading to our procedure? Do you find
it? Apparently so, right. You find that person should use the bathroom. So the question is, what does that mean? So, I saw two interesting things. The Ritva, maybe it's the Ritva I really like. The Ritva explains like this. The tefillin, as we know, is the Shel Yad and the Shel Rosh. Right? So, not just that they're two random tefillin. One of them corresponds to the machshavos, your thoughts, which is more spiritual in nature, your ruchnius, your neshama, if you will. The Ritva says, when it comes to the tefillin shel yad, it's your hands, it's your actions, it's gashmis, it's the physical. So he says that the idea of tefillin is that by wearing the tefillin shel yad, I spoke about this about a year ago, and you're not to be masik between the yad and the rosh. So some explain, a couple ways to explain this, is that you should not separate your thoughts from your actions. Right? Shouldn't be two separate things. You have to be consistent. That's one explanation of not being masik between the yad and the rosh. The other idea of not being masik between the yad and the rosh is you're supposed to connect the gashmis and the ruchnis. You're supposed to elevate the gashmis to ruchnis. So the Ritva says that the idea, why does it have to go into this, go to the bathroom? Why do you have to tell me to go to the bathroom? What's the idea? The idea is that to have a Malchus Shemayim Shlema, for it to be complete, it's necessary to combine the Gashmias and the Ruchnias. So to be engaged in part of the Gashmias, which is, you mean just go to the bathroom. But the idea is that since you're connecting it and you're doing it in order that you'll be pure, clean, washing your hands, you'll be pure. Therefore, you're going to really elevate the gashmis above the ruchnis. So therefore, he explains that the inyan of the lashon of this gemara of malchus shemayim shleima. It's not just malchus shemayim, but a shleima. By shleima, so you're complete. Your gashmis connecting it to the ruchnis. The Beis Yosef says something a little bit different. He says, what's the idea of Ol Malchus Shemayim Shleima? Because he says that, who's he quoting? Ben Yaakov, okay, Ayamik Bracha. He says that when it comes to be Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim, you need to be Beguf Shalim. You have to be complete. As the Pasuk says, the Chol Kravai et Shem Kodesho, which is all my innards. Everything of mine cries out and calls out to you, Hashem. And therefore, it's necessary, without getting too graphic of what he says over here, that a person needs to rid themselves of anything which is negative in the fact that a person cannot be mekabel ol malchus shemayim with that part of their body. And therefore, if a person still needs to use the facilities, as it says, ukshibetnu malei tsoa, right? You still need to go to the bathroom.
It says, after shasus nafsho seisha. So if you have to go to the bathroom and you go, I got to have this, but you can't then, give this power over, your full heart because you have other needs to take care of. So it's better to take care of. That's what we would say, Asher Yotzar, almost early in the davening, as soon as we have to put on tefillin.
Right.
Even before Shema.
Right. So So according to that, the idea of using the bathroom is to prepare yourself
to be able to do it without having things impinge upon your thoughts and you know, the bodily necessities. You can't, you know, something's bothering you, you can't
not. So according to the Emek Bracha, he says, again, like a person, if you need to use the bathroom, Einu yochel kabel olam babeten zeh. You cannot be mekabel olam al hashemayim shlema with your entire body. Be mekabel shemayim with your heart. Do this. V'nimsa shlo kibel olam haol mal hashemayim b'shlemos el b'kisarim. So he says that's the inyan of why a person needs to use the bathroom first. Because otherwise you're not being olam al hashemayim shlema. That's the language of shlema of the Gemara. Okay. Let's move on. So that's what a person is supposed to do. That order. Zuhi malchus shemayim shleim. Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, kol nitna v'daitel yadam v'niyak tefillin mekor kriyishma spalel, which is basically the order that we said. But he, again, includes going to the bathroom. Ma'al av akasav kiil bonim mizbeach v'ik ribul av karbon. It's just like a person has built a mizbeach, he brought a carbon upon it. Dechsev, and some, again, explain the idea of a carbon, which is people think of the Beis HaMikdash, it's beautiful, of course it is, but the Beis HaMikdash had animals' blood pouring all over.
Pretty messy.
Right. But the idea is to take a carbon, an animal, and to elevate it, which is the whole Indian of what we're saying. I mean, Ma'omach HaShemayim Shalema is elevating the guf, the spirit, the physical, and elevated to the spiritual, which is the same thing as being makar karma, that is sacrifice, and it's an animal. It's not an animal, you can elevate it to be brought on top of onto the Mizbeach. That said, Erchatz b'nekayim kapai, b'saybes mitzvachach Hashem. So, what is the order? First, you're supposed to cleanse your hands. Let's translate it incorrectly, as you're supposed to wash your hands. And then afterwards, then you can go around the Mizbeach. Right, so that's the idea. Our davening is in lieu of the karbanos.
Exactly.
Omar le Rabba, lo sabr la mark ilu tavah. Don't you hold like the opinion that it's considered, even though all you did was wash your hands up to your wrists, as though you've actually been tavah, you've actually immersed them in a mikvah. Dechsev erchatz b'nekayim. Looks at erchatz kapai. It doesn't say my hands. It just says I washed in cleanliness. So therefore, do we not hold, and this is rhetorical, that even though all you did was wash your hands, it's ki'ilu that you actually title yourself in the mikvah? Because it doesn't say kav. Amar le Rabbeinu Rabba, Rabbi, this is Rabba Chazi Mar, Haisum Rabbanim. The Asim Rabba. Look at the Sum Rabbanim, this young Talmud Chacham that came from the west of Eretz Israel. The Omer that said, quote, Mi she'en lo mayim lirchot, Yadav mikanech, yadav afar, sror, kasavus. If a person does not have water in which to wash their hands, then you can cleanse your hands on other things, such as dirt, pebbles, rock, little rocks, and wood chips. So that's kind of a strange thing. After all, we're only accustomed and familiar with washing our hands with water. And here, this Sumer Abun, this young little guy, he started telling us that you can wash your hands with other things as well. You can cleanse your hands with other things. Amalei Shabrakon. What do you mean? Don't question the Sumer Abun. He's actually saying a very good pshat. He's correct. Why? Miksiv erchatz b'mayim b'nikiyoyin. Does the pasuk say that you wash with water in cleanliness? The pasuk doesn't say, excuse me, erchatz b'mayim, that you should wash in water. It just says b'nikiyoyin. You have to be nucky. You have to cleanse your hands. Which should apply infer from here. Kol midi demenag. Anything which can cleanse. So anything that can clean your hands is good enough. It's not necessary to use water. Obviously, l'chatchila we use water, as we'll see in a second. But pasuk says just as long as your hands are clean. Okay. Now, not everyone agrees that this is something you should do, that running after water, especially when it comes to Zman Tefillah, which could pass very quickly, or Zman Kriyashma. You're going to understand what this means in this next line of the Gemara. The Rav Chisda lights, Rav Chisda literally would curse, Aman de Mahadir Maya Be'idan Salus. It doesn't mean he would curse them necessarily. He would criticize them, critique them, saying, don't do this. Don't go after water, be'idan salusa, at the time in which you're engaged about the daven shachris. Behind me, Lila Kriyashma, Abla Tfila Mahadim. We're going to have to understand what Tfila over here means. When does he say that you should not be makbid to run after water when it comes to the Shema? Because as we've been discussing already, the Shema and Kriya Shema can pass, come and go very quickly. Oh, Tfilah Mahadim. So when it comes to davening, go and wash your hands.
It does
matter, sir. Oh, so let's see Rashi. The bread. So all the Mepharshim are just completely bewildered by this Rashi. Rashi says that when it came to Rav Chista, who would critique those people who would run after water, and he said, don't run after water, just daven. When was that? He would be makbid when it came to the Shema. So Rashi says, L'kriya Shema. Why? But in the Kriya Shema, Shizman Nekvua, Penyabar Hazman. That when it comes to the Shema, which its time is Kavua, it sets, you only have until third hour of the day, Penyabar Hazman, the time might pass. So here you are, running, looking for water. What are you doing?
You might miss the Shema.
You're going to miss the Zman Kriya Shema. What? Which is interesting. Probably it's the same. It's interesting that it's brought not too much after the Gemara we saw, that when the fear of doing the things the best way, which is wearing the tefillin, or passing the Zman Kriya Shema, say the Shema, even without the tefillin. Also say the Shema without the water. Right, exactly. But listen to this next one. This is a very big problem. The next five words in Rashi. Aval tefillah dichol hayom zmana hu. When it comes to davening the Shemoneh Esrei, kol hayom, all day you have. Therefore, sarach l'mahadir mayi, we should continue to look after the water. So the Mepharshim asked the question, what are you talking about? What do you mean kol hayom? It's not you're not kol hayom. We know that when the Mishnah in the fourth parak, all right, the beginning of the Tfilas HaShachar, Zemachokos Rebuzun HaTanakam. Do you have a chatzos? Or do you have until the fourth hour? We paskin out our Rashov, so you have until the fourth hour. Even if you want to be mekel and say until chatzos, what is Rashi saying over here? Avol tefila the chol hayom zmana.
By comparison to the Shema, this is probably what he means.
You have mincha.
No. You have mincha. Yes, but I'm saying, but by Shema, you have the time limit.
Right.
But you have a lot more time to daven, so since you have more time, then you should look for water. That's right. You know, he says, it's like you almost got the whole day, you know. Shema is a finite thing. Here you got many more hours.
So in other words, one way you're reading Rashi is... Right, because it says she's.
You got the whole day, you know. You have to go watch.
You have another hour.
Yeah, right. That's it. It's like the whole day.
It's a little bit more. It could. So in other words, the way you're reading the Rashi, you'd have to read the beginning of the Rashi. It goes to the beginning of the Rashi. The end of the Kriya Shema, Shizmanik Kavua, and Yavar Hazman means that that is set and the Shemoneh Esrei is not set. But the issue is a greater issue of Penyavar Hazman.
More, right, it's more of a finite time for Shema. But here you got some more time, so then you should look for water. But here we know that it's just, it's, you know.
Right. Well, why are you picking a Rashi? Why the Gemara itself? Ah. Of a tefillah and mahadir.
Yeah, but you could maybe read the Gemara's to say, why does he allow you to go after water? Because you have an extra hour. Not that you have all day. Right? The Gemara could say, I'm going to Shema this. But Rashi throws in the Kol Hayom Zman. So that's definitely, I think, that's one acceptable reading of Rashi. There's two other approaches that I saw. It's interesting. What does the Gemara say? The Gemara said, "I am ha'imili l'kriya shema of l'tfila mahadir." It's brought down. Who says this? I don't know who says this. It says it's possible that the word tfila. But according to Rashi, what does it mean that tfila?
Tfila means Shmoneh is called the tfila.
Tefillah right. Could actually mean tefillah could mean davening,
right.
But also tefillah could mean something else. How do you say tefillin in singular? You know the answer to that question? Tefillah.
Is this such a word? Yeah.
So yes. Tefillin. Sometimes when it says tefillah,
we say tefillin shayad, tefillin sharosh. We don't say tefillah shayad. tefillah if you hold it your way? We call it tefillah.
You should.
But nobody says that.
They're all wrong.
This is how some people learn it. It's certainly not the simple way of reading the Gemara.
Right.
That maybe it's referring to tefillin, and therefore when Rashi said the
the
whole way to tefillin. Right. So to say, but what's good about that reading is, even though it doesn't sound clear because tefillin sounds better than that
right.
word.
So we say tefillin shayad, so we don't call tefillin shayad and tefillin shorosh.
Correct. But if we remember, what we began talking about, the issue of saying the Shema without the tefillin, and we said some people would question, should I be saying the Shema without my tefillin? So Rav Chisda said, say the Shema already. Even though you haven't yet put on the tefillin. Therefore, when it comes to tefillin, put on the tefillin later. Right? Say the Shema now so the Zman won't pass, even though you're not wearing tefillin. That's one way you can maybe...
Rashi did say the tefillin, and the sofer, the printer, made a mistake.
Well, the problem is that the Gemara also says tefillin, so...
Same printer. Maybe we had a problem with Rashi a few weeks ago, whether it was the tefillin and the mezuzah, or whether it was the trumas and maestros.
Yes.
Right?
I don't know, I can't remember.
Why do we put Suarez and we do all these mitzvahs?
Yes.
So we should remember when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, where the Chiv is only in Eretz Yisrael, so we shouldn't forget. So originally you just had the parentheses, tough and then. So Rashi meant Shrumos and Maestros. But the printer put down Tzvillin and Zuzah. Tzvillin and Zuzah is a Chiv of Chutz also.
Alright. So it's a Tois Seifer, as they said. We'll conclude with one other explanation. This, you don't have to go into the tefillin answer. It's talking about tefillah. We know that you only have until the fourth hour, according to Yehuda, you only have until Chatzos, according to the Rabbanan. So what do you mean when Rashi says, Babul tefillah dechol hayom zmana? He says, because we know that when it comes to tefillah, there's a concept of tashlumin. What is tashlumin? That if a person made a mistake, or whatever, you didn't daven shacharis, you can daven Mincha twice.
Right.
And when do you have until the daven mincha?
Until the end of the day.
So how long do you have? You have kol hayom.
So
therefore he said, tefillah the kol hayom zmana. That really, obviously, you want to daven shacharis b'zman.
But
if you don't, you still...
You can make up. There's a makeup.
Right. When it comes
to Shema, you don't have it.
Exactly. So that's how he explained.
You don't say Shema twice.
Yeah. But you can't make, if you miss the Shema, you miss the Shema. However, when it came to the Shema, that's right. So let's just finish the last two lines of the Gemara and we'll stop. The Hani Mili Likame, it's only Bad Kama, Ad Parsa, I'm only told. Parsa that he would walk, search after water. The Hani Mili Likame, it's only if it's in front of you, you're in that direction. Of a Khuri to go backwards, and if you'll meal in there, even less than that, the measurement of a meal, you do not have to go back. And therefore, less than that, you would have to go and search after water.